Daniel chapter 3. I'm amazed at this book right here. 40 different men over 1600 period time. And you're holding in your hand a manuscript that is inspired, God breathed, infallible. It cannot fail. Inerrant. Contains no errors. Come on now. It's pure. It's perfect. Preserved. Preeminent. Probing. Piercing. Penetrating. Powerful. Potent. Perfecting. Precious. Preeminent. Prominent. It's God's word. We ain't in here reading some GQ magazine, Vogue, New York Times, Washington Post. We got a Bible. It'll do the job. So let's listen. And then let's live what we listen. The word works. Daniel 3, familiar story. 26 for sake of time. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was any hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Somebody say amen. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be a dunghill, because there is no other God. My soul. There is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we stand amazed that you love us. Having done what we've done, fail how we fail, sin how we sin, and yet to do more, we thank you for your love. I pray, God, that you'd continue to bless, to move, to guide, and to direct in the service today. Take me as your vessel. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. And fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Now help us, Lord. I believe this message can help us. So let it do so. If there's somebody in the building that doesn't know Jesus as Savior, may that person leave here knowing that Jesus loves him and he can be saved. We love you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We're going to open our Bible in Daniel chapter 3 and find servants of God in the fire. In the fire where it's hot. In the fire where it's horrible. In the fire where they hate it. And yet they're in the fire. We're not going to open our Bible to Daniel chapter 3 and find disobedient people in the fire. We're going to find obedient people in the fire. We're not going to open our Bible and find those who have disgraced God in the fire. No, we're going to find those who have pleased God in the fire. We're not going to find those going the wrong direction in the fire. We're going to find those going the right direction in the fire. We're not going to find the ungodly in the fire. We're going to find the godly in the fire. We're not going to find those who have messed up in the fire. We're finding those who are standing on the promises of God in the fire. We're not going to find those who don't know God in the fire. We're going to find those who do know God in the fire. I'm trying to tell you, you can be living right and in the fire. But at the end of Daniel chapter 3, we're not going to find him in the fire. We're going to find him coming out the fire. And that's what I want to preach on this morning. Here's why I want to preach on it. If you're alive, go like this. All right, that's you. Then you cannot decide whether you go into the fire. It's a foregone conclusion. Amen. I mean, people that live right go in the fire, and people that live wrong go in the fire. I mean, rich people go in the fire, and poor people go in the fire. I mean, church attenders go in the fire, and non-church attenders go in the fire. Saved people go in the fire, and unsaved people go in the fire. Giving people go in the fire, and stingy people go in the fire. Selfish people go in the fire, and unselfish people go in the fire. Singing people go in the fire, and pouting people go in the fire. Thankful people go in the fire, and ungrateful people go in the fire. Everybody goes in the fire. But not everybody comes out. Some people go in there, and that's the last place they go. Now listen to me. Let me speak into your life today. And I'm not one of these prophets. But let me just tell you about your life without asking you any questions. Today, you're either in the fire, or you just came out to fire, or you are headed into the fire. Come on now. Those are the three categories of life. You're either currently in the fire, you either recently came out the fire, or in the very near future, you are going in the fire. But I'm here to tell you, according to Daniel chapter 3, through the story of these Hebrew boys, that yes, you will go into the fire. Trials will come. Tribulations will come. Testings will come. Temptations will come. But I'm glad on the authority of the word of God, I don't have to die in the fire. I don't have to lose in the fire. I don't have to fail in the fire. I don't have to be consumed in the fire. There is a God that is able to take the same people that went in the fire and bring them out to fire. Now, there's some people in the building today. They need to come out to fire. Now, wait a minute. You might not come out today, but I'm trying to tell you what you have to do to come out. We all gonna face trials. We all gonna face difficulties. Some people that I'm talking to this morning are going through the biggest trial of their life. Some people are going through the fire in their marriage. Some people are in the fire in their finances. Some people are in the fire in their emotions. Some people are in the fire through some physical calamity. Some people are in the fire through some family matter. Some people are in the fire at your job. Some people are in the fire in your mind. Could I tell you, the fire comes a whole lot of different ways. But I'm trying to encourage you, beloved, you can come out the fire. Somebody say amen. You can come out the fire. Now, what will it take? Now, bear with me. We'll move quickly if you'll listen fast. What does it take to come out the fire? Number one, established character. Established character. In Daniel chapter 1, we're going to find these boys have been brought to Babylon really against their will. They didn't want to be in Babylon. They weren't there sightseeing. They were there in bondage. King Nebuchadnezzar had come into their country, taken them from their homes, their families, their familiarity, and brought them to Babylon. Babylon was no godly place. In Babylon, there was no temple. In Babylon, there was no worship of God. In Babylon, there was no fear of God. As a matter of fact, you get to the end of your Bible, and Babylon is mentioned in the word of God as a wicked, vile system whose sins had piled all the way up to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where these fellows that ended up in the fire were living. But in that wicked place, they demonstrated established character. In chapter number 1, they showed a spiritual purpose. When they were tempted to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine, they purposed in their heart that they would do the right thing. thing. Later on in that passage of scripture, we saw their purpose led to sincere performance. For 3 years, they decided to do the right thing when everybody else did the wrong thing. And by their willingness to do what was right, we found out that the king saw them, and he saw that there was none that was performing better than these three boys. Therefore, they had a seen prominence. He took them from the bottom and he put them up above others. Pastor, what are you saying about established character? I'm saying if you're going to come out the fire right, you got to go in right.
Yeah, that's good.
Pastor, I'm going through a trial. I want this trial to make me better. Well, I hate to bust your bubble. Before you get to better, you got to get to good. You can't start scrambling for character once you get in the fire. Come on now. You can't try to put on spirituality once you get in the fire. Some people don't understand why they're going through trials and they're bitter with God. Why they're going through trials and their faith is wavering. Why they're going through trials and they're living in a way that they weren't living before they went through trials. I'll tell you why. Trials expose where we really are. When these boys went into the fire, they had already established character. They had purpose. They had performance. And they had prominence. Could I say to you, you may be rejoicing today. Pastor, I'm not in the fire. Thank Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what you need to do. You better live right now. You better serve God now. You better stand for God now. You better honor God now. Because when them flames start burning, it's too late. Establish character. Establish character. Everybody wants to be a Job because they're going through trials. Oh, I feel like Job. You can't feel like Job in trials unless you acted like Job before trials. The Bible said he feared God and he hated evil, and there was none that was more upright than Job. Can I tell you what America needs in this day and age? It needs some Christian people who will make up their mind by purpose to live for God, who will demonstrate a lifestyle by performance that they love God and thereby be seen in providence that they are standing for Almighty God. This is where these boys were before they ever went in. Established character. In chapter number 3, we're introduced to some extreme courage. Nebuchadnezzar, at the beginning of this chapter, made an image of gold. It was big. He set it up in the plain. He gathered everybody, princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, all the rulers of the provinces to come to dedicate the image. All of them stood before it. And Nebuchadnezzar gave a command. All people, nations, and languages. Everybody in here. When you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had made, and whoso falleth not down and worship the same shall be cast at that very hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now notice what's happening. This is a king that's anti-God. This is a king that's a pagan god, sets up an image in a big plane for everybody to see, and then orders with his authority for everybody to bow down to his image. This was something that involved total participation. This was something that involved a threatening proposition. But the Bible tells us that there were three boys that decided everybody's bowing down. This is an image that everybody's worshiping. But we serve somebody that's bigger than this image. We serve Almighty God and we will not bow. Courage. If ever a day courage is going to stand out, it's now. Could I tell you? Seems like everybody's bowing. Come on now, help me preach. Everybody's bowing. It seems like a lot of people are. They're bowing when it comes to morality. Come on now. The world's saying, oh, it doesn't really matter who you like or what you do or how long you're married, even if you think marriage is what God said. We just do whatever the world says. Let me tell you something. God needs some courageous Christians who will not bow. I mean, they're bowing when it comes to foolishness, and they're bowing when it comes to carnality, and they're bowing when it comes to false religions. Hey, there's a world today that sets up false gods. Some of them say Muhammad's God. Some of them say Buddha's God. Some of them say Mary's God. Some of them say man is God. But where are the children of God?
that have made their mind up. There's only one God that we'll bow down to. His name is Jehovah. When there was no Muhammad, God was there. When there was no Buddha, God was there. When there was no Pope, God was there.
See, wait a minute. Pastor, I thought you were talking about how to come out the fire. Yeah, but I'm just saying, you can't come out right unless you go in right. See, they got put in for doing right. And they came out for doing right. A lot of folks don't come out doing right because they got put in for doing wrong. Somebody help me preach. I'm talking about there was established character. There was extreme courage. Notice number three, there was expressed confidence. Now, all of a sudden, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar scan the crowd. Everybody in the crowd is bowing except three Hebrew boys. All of a sudden, they bring the report to Nebuchadnezzar. King, you made a decree. And King, those Jews, verse number 12, that you set over the affairs of the province of... Now, watch this now. Nebuchadnezzar, you got a problem. Remember them boys in chapter 1 that wouldn't eat that steak and wouldn't drink that wine? Remember all of a sudden when they did it God's way, they turned out 10 times better than the rest of the people that did it your way. And as a result, you put these boys in prominence. Well, these boys that you just made managers and presidents, these boys that you just gave authority to, they bossed everybody else around. Well, guess what, King? You made an order that told them to bow down, and your boys that you just put up there aren't listening to you. Ain't that like the world? Ain't that like the world? Oh, you Christians, yeah, you Christian people. Oh, you bragging about Jesus and serving God and living for God. And thank you, glory, hallelujah. And all of a sudden, when they see Christian people who won't go their way, all of a sudden they're trying to get you in trouble. They're called haters. Somebody say amen. Could I tell you, we're supposed to obey government. We're supposed to obey the authorities. But when their authority collides with God's authority, it's a no-brainer. We ought to obey God rather than men. And all of a sudden they say, Nebuchadnezzar, look at these boys. They're not bowing. Nebuchadnezzar says, bring them here to me. Verse number 13, in rage and fury, he commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. So Nebuchadnezzar talks to him and says, okay, guys, is it true? Is it true, oh Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do ye not serve my gods nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Notice this intimidating confrontation. Can you imagine being brought out the crowd of all the people standing there in front of an angry king who has the authority to throw you into the fiery furnace? Notice this intimidating confrontation is met by indicated consequences. If you're ready, verse 15, when you hear the music, guess what? Well, he says, great, you do what I say, no problem. But if you don't do what I say, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And notice this question. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Ain't that like the devil barking all that noise? The devil say, you go my way, it's all good. You don't go my way, we gonna torture you. And who is your God? I've learned something about the devil. He gets in trouble when he starts questioning God. And here he is. Who is that God? These indicated consequences, this intimidating confrontation, if you would. And notice the intimidating commitment. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 16, said to King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. The word careful is where we get the word anxiety or worried or nervous. Notice what these three boys said with a king staring down their throat and a fiery furnace hanging in their mind. King, we are not afraid to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God, somebody help me preach, whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. That's what I call intense commitment. There with that scary man, the most powerful man on planet Earth at that time, looking down their throat, they looked at him like
like he was looking at them and said, King, we're not scared to answer you in this matter. He said, you throw us into that burning fiery furnace, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. And then I noticed how they answered his previous question, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? You ask, let us answer you. And he, the God of the universe, will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Some of you going through the fire right now, God wants you to stand, and the devil wants you to bend. By the way, what do you call bowing, preacher? Bowing is when you go to the fire, through the fire, and you start missing church. Bowing is when you go through the fire and you quit giving to God. Bowing is when you go through the fire and you slow down in your commitment with God. Bowing is when you go through the fire and you go to the work and you don't speak up for the things of the living God. You start laughing at those dirty jokes. You start engaging in that ungodly activity. You start letting the devil tell you how to live instead of letting God tell you how you live. You say, Pastor, but I'm scared of the consequences. I'm worried about what people will say. I don't like being ridiculed. I don't function well under peer pressure. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you what confidence it requires. It requires you to know that the God that you serve is able to deliver you. Express confidence. But notice by way of number four, emphatic conviction. I think this is where we miss it. Because in verse number 17, with the threat of the fiery furnace hanging over them, they said, we're not bowing. Right. Yeah. And we're not afraid to tell you. Yeah. And if you throw us in, God's able to deliver us. Right. Come on. And he's going to show you he's God. But here's where the conviction comes in. Next verse. But if not. But if not. Boy, isn't this where we miss it? Watch this now. Verse 16 says, God is able. Verse 17 said, even though he's able, he may not do it. Somebody say amen. See, you're not going to come out the fire unless you're willing to stay in the fire and not come out. Come on. There are a lot of people say, oh yeah, I trust God. God's going to bring me out the fire. But they don't even consider the possibility. Maybe God's going to let me stay in the fire. Maybe I'm going to be a martyr. Maybe I'm going to be a testimony. Maybe God's not going to take this trial away from me. Let me tell you something. There's not a person in this room today who doesn't want to come out the fire. But sometimes God has to give you an answer to your prayer that says, I heard you. I know you want out. I know you'd like the situation to change. But I've ordained for you to stay in that fire. That's my will. I wonder if there's a believer in the building that says, I believe God can heal me. I believe God can change me. I believe God can deliver me. I believe God can get me out the fire. But even if he decides not to, I'm still going to serve him. Wow. See, it's convictions like that that move God. Pastor, I'm going through it. I don't think I can take it anymore. Pastor, I'm facing something. I don't think I can make it. I know God can get me out of here. And he can. That doesn't mean he will. Come on now. Could I tell you there were godly people that were in this church that passed away? And they didn't pass away because they were not right with God. They passed away because God decided to leave them in the fire. Amen. And by the way, they went out with peace. Come on now. I said they went out with peace. See, you can't have peace when you're in the fire for doing wrong. But you can have peace when you're in the fire for doing right. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes doing right brings more fire than doing wrong does. But the difference between the wrong fire and the right fire is the right fire comes with peace. You can't sleep at night when you know you're in trouble because you're running with the devil and living like him. You can't sleep right when you know you're in the fire because you're dishonoring God and living a double life. You can't sleep right when you're in the fire because you know your hypocrisy and your false Christianity. Christianity may be fooling people, but it's not fooling God. But when you're dropped down in that fire because you love God, you read your Bible, you stand for him, and you refuse to change, God gives you peace. Conviction. confidence. So dropped in the fire they went. How? Well, let me tell you how they went in. The Bible says the most mighty men bound them in their coats, hosen, hats, and garments. Well, he really wanted them to burn. Had them keep all their winter clothes on. Listen, the devil loves to watch you suffer. Come on. And those who are working for him do too. Somebody say amen. I mean, the devil and his cronies. And sometimes he gets Christians to listen to his nonsense. And you even get some people who claim the name of Jesus who enjoy watching you go into the fire. I want you to notice something, ladies and gentlemen. They got thrown into the fire because they stood for God. I hear people say to me all the time, Pastor, I had a good church service on Sunday. I made decisions for the Lord. I decided I was going to do right. I went to work the next day and it seemed like everything broke loose. The soon as I did right, it seemed like everything I went wrong. Welcome to the Christian life. But I want to tell you something about this fire. They got thrown into the fire, and not only did they get thrown into the fire got turned up 7 times hotter. Somebody say amen. But I tell you what I love about this story. The fire got turned up 7 times hotter. The strongest men had to throw them in. And the Bible says that when the strong men threw the godly men into the fire killed the men throwing them in, but didn't kill the people that got thrown in. I'm saying hang in there with God and keep your character with God. Sometimes the fire that your haters are trying to kill you with is the same fire gonna kill them. Old Haman said, we're gonna get all these Jews hung. And God got involved. And the Pharaoh hung Haman on the gallows that he set up to hang the Jews on. It's not your job to run from the fire. It's your job to walk with Jesus. And when you don't try to run from the fire, see, if God ordained for you to go in the fire, it don't do no good for you to run anyway. You're going to get there one way or the other. Sooner or later, you're going to go in the fire. But if you decide to go in the fire and decide to live for God, you're going to find out established character, extreme courage, express confidence, emphatic conviction brings with you in the midst of the fire an eternal companion. An eternal companion. The Bible said them 3 boys went into the fire, but somebody showed up in the fire with them. The prompt appearance of this man, the powerful effect of this man. What do you mean the powerful effect of this man? They went into the fire bound with their clothes, their hats, and everything. But when that man showed up in the fire with them, he gave them, if you would, a liberating provision. Their bindings were loose. He gave them living progress. They were walking through the fire. He gave them lacking pain. They were feeling no hurt. Somebody let you know this morning, I'm here to let you know that when you go through the fire, there's somebody by the name of Jesus that will show up in the fire with you, and your bindings will be loose, and the fire will not hurt you, and your lack of progress will be forwarded, because my friend, the only person that can subside the power of the fires is Jesus himself. Wait a minute now. He don't just show up for everybody. See, if you weren't walking with him before you went in, he won't be walking with you while you're in. Help us. I'm almost done. There was an eternal companion. But I want you to notice the eyewitnessing characters. Now, sometimes we focus so much on being in the fire that we fail to realize who's watching. Now, Nebuchadnezzar made the image. Nebuchadnezzar gave the decree. Nebuchadnezzar ordered the music. Nebuchadnezzar punished them for not bowing. Nebuchadnezzar gave the command for them to go into the fire. But once he had them dropped in, he was watching to see what happened. Bible said he went to bed, couldn't sleep. Woke up in the middle of the night, looking in that furnace. Watch it now, Christian. See, how you react when you're in the fire has an impact on who's watching you. See, parents, your kids are watching you in the fire. See, sir, your wife's watching you in the fire. Ma'am, your husband's watching you in the fire. Christian, your coworkers are watching you in the fire. Church member, non-church members are watching you in the fire. Church member, other church members are watching you in the fire. Sick person, your nurse is watching you in the fire. Come on now. Student, your teacher is watching you through the fire. Huh. Intrigued reaction. Astonished. Hold up. That's not in there, but it was in there. Hold up. Nebuchadnezzar gets up. Hold up. The intrigued reaction followed by an interrogating recollection. Fellas. Come here, counselors. Didn't we throw three men in? For proof text, so you don't think this story is so good. Some of you might hear, this story sounds so good. He's making it up. Daniel chapter 3. Verse number 24. Did not we cast three? Not only did we cast three, but we cast three bound. We threw them in and we threw them in tied up. Why? To make sure the fire killed them. The intrigued reaction, astonished, the interrogating recollection. Did we not throw three? The instinctive recognition. Lo. That word lo is another word for behold. He ain't talking about how low they were. He said, lo. Watch it. Hold up. Didn't we throw three in? And weren't the three that we threw in tied up? Lo. Guys, like, look. I see four. And four of them are loose. Somebody help me preach. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. You can go ahead and clap right there. Now, here. Here's what got me about the pastor's scripture. He had never seen Jesus. How he knew? He didn't say, lo, I see four, and the fourth one is never someone I never seen before. He didn't say, lo, I seen four, see four, and the fourth one must be one of them guys that threw him in that actually slipped through the crack. He didn't say, lo, I see four, and who is that fourth one? He didn't say, lo, I see four, and maybe it ain't four. He said, lo, I see four, and the fourth one is like the Son. Let me tell you something. When you go in the fire and you walk with Jesus, there'll be people who've never met Jesus, never seen Jesus, never walked with Jesus, never heard from Jesus, but when they see him walking, there's a walk about him, there's a move about him, there's a strut about him, there's a royalty about him, there's a power about him, that those who don't know him say, that ain't Muhammad, that ain't Buddha, that ain't Baal, that ain't the Pope, that ain't self-esteem, that ain't humanism, secularism, emotionalism, or post-existentialism, that's Jesus. They may never read a Bible. They may never come to your church. But could it be that their learning who Jesus is will be from them seeing him with you in the fire? That's why you can't get all bent out of shape. in the fire. I ain't do nothing wrong. Messing me up. I ain't putting up with it. Calm down, Christian. You're still a Christian. I know. I don't want to hear that right now. That ain't right. Same boss that mistreated you, seeing how you react. No, you can't do it. I can't do it. Nope, you can't do it. Let's see if he cuss now. Uh-huh. All that hallelujahs from the cubicle. Let's see if he's still hallelujahing from the furnace. You know what I found out? A lot of Christians change their praise when they hit the fire. They're watching. Then we throw three in, four down there. Amen. Amen. And they don't even know what to say other than the fact, you got something we ain't seen before. We don't have that happen in Babylon. First of all, we don't throw people in that don't die. Second of all, we don't throw people in that multiply. And third of all, even if they didn't die and did multiply, the fourth multiplication would not be Jesus. But the only way somebody can show up in that furnace, if he wasn't thrown in, he got to be somebody that's not like all the other somebodies. See, that's why I said you have an eternal companion. Because see, when I go through a trial, thank God for my honey, and thank God for my parents, and thank God for my church members, but they are limited to locality because of humanity. And I can be somewhere, and my wife can't be there because she's a human like I am. And even if she's with me, she can't be with me in one place and the kids in another place because she's only one person. What I like about Jesus is he's omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipresent everywhere at the same time. So that means this week in my fire, he was there. But this week in your fire, 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 your all them fires, he was there at the same time. And don't nobody else look like him. Let me try to close this. Redskins play at 4. Cowboys play tomorrow. We ain't in no hurry. Miss Pat, shout out for the Steelers, for you. She said, Pastor, all you talk about the Redskins again. What about the Steelers? Okay, the Steelers. Shout out, but I don't know what time they play. I didn't check. Eternal companion, eyewitness and characters, effected change. Now I want you to follow Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 13, rage and fury. Verse 24, astonished. Verse 26, bring them out. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High. Wait a minute, what is he? Wait, who is this talking? Go back to how he talked earlier. Verse 14, is it true you're not bowing down to the golden image which I have set up? If ye bow down and fall down to the music, well. But if you don't, watch it. Listen to his question, verse 15. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? You remember that question he asked in verse 15? Them boys had so affected him by walking with Jesus through the fire. This crazy joker answered his own question in verse number 26. Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spake. Now he's going to answer his own question. Thy God, listen to me, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come forth hither. And then notice what the Bible says in verse 28.
Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they not serve nor worship any god except their own God. The contrasting action is the man that threw him in is the man that brought him out. The clear awareness when they got out was that they didn't hurt, they weren't bruised, and they didn't even smell like smoke. And the credible announcement was, nobody else could have done it but their God. It doesn't even say Nebuchadnezzar got saved. It just means that he agreed with the saved people's God. And the exalted conclusion. Therefore, I make a decree. I thought you already had one. Yeah, but these boys, they walking so close with God, they changing laws. Now he could have, listen what his decree could have said. His decree could have said, from now on, you boys get to worship your God. But instead, his decree said, from now on, every people, every nation, and every language that speaks anything amiss. These boys done lived so right that I just made a law, if they didn't bow to my God, they get thrown in the furnace. Because my furnace and my God didn't work and their God did, if anybody in the kingdom from anywhere talks bad about their God, right, we're going to cut them in pieces. That's the change. That's the conclusion that was made because they came out to fire. You know what I found out? The people that throw you in will be the first in line to spot you when you come walking out. And how you come out will determine how they feel about your God. You go to work and let your haters see you love God. And you come out that fire unsinged. The next time you be at the lunch table and go, somebody be saying, oh, you going back to church again? You be ready to defend yourself. And somebody who don't even go to church will say, hold up. Don't be talking about his God and his church. Well, do you go now? No, I don't go. But I seen him go and how he come back after he went to know enough. You better not mess with his God. I watched her going through cancer. I watched her going through a rough marriage. I watched him lose a child. I watched that family have a miscarriage. I watched him at work after chemotherapy. We ain't never seen nobody act like that having cancer. Oh, so you saved now? No, I ain't saved, but I ain't messing with no saved people. They got it. Ain't nothing I've experienced in my religion and my paganism that mirrors this. And then they got promoted again. Where they're moving on up. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy or the hill would not be hard to climb. He never promised your victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Sing the next part. So remember when in the valley of decision and the adversary says, just hold on, my God will show up and he'll take you through the fire again. I know within myself that I will surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, I know he'll shield the flames again. again. Whoa, he never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered your victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. In time. So remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. My God will show up and he will take you through the fire again. Just hold on. My God will show up and he will take you through the fire again, again and again, through the fire again. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Somebody say amen. Hold on. Don't you bow. Don't you bend. You're God's child and you're gonna win. Don't give up. Don't give in. God's gonna come through just in time. And before long, that fire, you went in because of God. Gonna be the same one you come out of because of God. Our Father, some Christian people in the fire. I mean in the fire. And they won't give in. They want to give up. Oh, it's easy. I mean, it doesn't mean that we're doing wrong. But it does mean that going in the fire for doing right, if we don't react properly, will cause us to be in the fire doing wrong. And not only is God working on our faith, he's building the faith of the eyewitnesses. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand? I'm saved and I know it. You may put your hand down. I'm going through the fire. Would you raise your hand? I'm in the fire. Some way I'm in the fire. I'm in the fire. Now, let me ask you a question. You want to come out? You better come out. You better go in right. You say, I'm already in. Well, you better get right. Because you may come out the fire, but if you come out yelling and screaming and cussing, and you're going to miss an opportunity to impact somebody for God's glory. They're not, listen, when you go in the fire, that's the best time for them not to look at you and for them to see Jesus. Last question. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I do not want to go to hell. Please pray for me. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I do not want to go to hell. Please pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Thank you, young man. God bless you. You may put your hand down. Anyone else? I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I don't want to go to hell. Anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. In just a moment, I hope you'll come. Let somebody take a Bible and show you. Listen, worse than the fires in Daniel 3 are the fires in hell. Jesus has already shown up so you don't have to go to hell. He showed up on the cross of Calvary. By the way, he went through the fire for you. Let's stand together. Lord, would you bless this invitation? Would you move in our midst? Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Come find your place on the altar of God's name.